I see the fire of God saturating this atmosphere. I don't know if you can feel His presence. If you can't, I pray that the Holy Spirit will step and locate you right now. And that you may become more sensitive to His presence. Even now, I pray that the Holy Spirit will release His energy, His power over each and every one of you. And that He so shall increase your current measure of spiritual sensitivity. That you may become more aware of the reality of the closeness of His presence that is actively busy and alive within you, upon you and around you. I pray for an anointing, for breakthrough to come and rest upon you even now. I pray for the breaker anointing to go before you even now. Holy Father, we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. My Lord, for there is none like you. Lord, I love your presence. You are more than welcome in this place. More than needed. Desperately needed, dear Lord. I pray, my Father, may your presence rain down into this atmosphere. I pray that this atmosphere will be soaked with a cloud that is filled with your glory. I pray that every person, even here now, shall stand in a cloud covered with your glory. I pray, Holy Spirit, may you locate every person standing here tonight. I pray that not one person will leave this service tonight as they have come in. That I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good evening and welcome. I trust that everyone is doing well. Amen. Are you expectant for tonight? I hope so. I just want to welcome those watching over live streaming as well. Wherever it might be that you are streaming in from, I just want to encourage you to stay connected. There's a powerful message that will be shared tonight. Please stay connected. This message tonight will encourage you. It will motivate you. It will uplift you. It will equip you. I truly believe that everyone will be blessed by the message that will go out tonight. Amen. Can I ask everyone just to stand with me again, please? Before getting some exercise tonight. Before I get into the word tonight, I need your hearts to be open for this word that I'm going to share with you. So for the next 1 or 2 minutes, I just want you to register into heaven. Say register. I want you just to pray and just speak to God for 1 or 2 minutes. Just speak and say, God, here I am. Please do not pass me by tonight. God, may you locate me tonight. Let me tell you, it is a prayer like this that have caused me to encounter God in a way that I have never thought possible. And here I am standing today. Say, Lord God, here I am. Here's my heart. Lord, I surrender. I yield. I submit to you. God, may you see me tonight. May you not pass me by. Holy Spirit, may you draw me into your fullness. And that I will stand in your presence. May you pour out over me everything that you have got for me. Just for 1 minute, I want every person just to pray. Speak to God. Pray in the Spirit. But let's just go for it. Open the heavens. Come on, sign into heaven. Register into heaven right now. And may you be located tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. May I have your seats. Tonight I will be preaching on the genetics of God and on the supernatural power of God that is within you and I. Amen. But before I get into this message, there is something I want to show you first. Can I show you something? Is it okay? I might not even get into the message once I touch on this, but I felt led to go this route. And so let's go to Mark, the second chapter. Mark, the second chapter, from verse 1. Is everyone with me? Now, I'll be making use of physical analogy tonight, but I need you to tune in spiritually. Turn to your neighbor and say, tune in spiritually. Everything that I say tonight, you need to hear spiritually. Amen? Can I ask that? Verse 1, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard, put on for me the NIV version. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Go on. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room. Say, there was no room. Now, I want to show you something, so stay with me. There was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Go on. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Go on. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. Say, an opening in the roof. Above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Go on. When Jesus saw their faith, say, saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Go on. Go for me to verse 9. And this is Jesus speaking, and he said, which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? Go on. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, go on. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Go on. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone that they praised God. In another translation, it said that God was glorified through this action. And we have never seen anything like this. I want to tell you tonight that this is a prophetic word that even now is being released. Let me tell you, maybe those over live streaming will respond better. Those, just stretch forth your hands. I'm telling you that this year right now is a prophetic word being released over your life right now. There was a paralyzed man that came into this building, but he did not go home the same. He stood up in full view, and the people was amazed. And they said that we have never seen anything like this. I'm telling you tonight that the blessing and the breakthrough that you shall receive tonight shall be so powerful. Listen, listen, listen. That those standing around you shall be amazed. They shall look at you and say that we have never seen anything like this. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Listen, look at this. Look at this. Here we've got these four men, and they're bringing this paralyzed person on a mat. And they come to this certain house, say a certain house, only to find out that the only way to come close to Jesus is by gaining access through the roof. Now you need to understand the prophetic movement that was taking place right here. You need to understand that prophetically, Jesus have chosen this house that had a weak roof. You need to understand that if this roof was not weak, that it would have been impossible for these four men to have gained access. It would have been impossible for these four men to have been come close to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking you're sitting here by chance. You are in for a surprise. Location is of the utmost importance. You might be sitting here tonight thinking, when will I encounter God? I see all these people around me encountering God in mighty, powerful ways. I hear everyone speaking of these encounters that they have with God. When will I have my chance? When will it be my turn? Let me tell you, tonight, you are standing on a weak roof. Listen. Listen, tonight you are standing on a weak roof. And even as I am speaking, you are busy breaking through. Tonight, you are breaking through. Tonight, you will come close to Jesus. Tonight, you will encounter God. Let me tell you that tonight, you have been divinely positioned and that you are about to be located by an almighty, all-powerful, true living God. You are breaking through tonight. Amen. Now, the Bible says that there was no room. Amen. Now look at this. There was no room inside. Can you imagine if this man had managed to have found space inside? He would not have been healed. No one inside was healed. Only the one that went up higher. Only the one that had broken through. That is the only one that have received his healing. That is the only one that have received his breakthrough. That was the only one that have received his blessing. Tonight, you are breaking through. Amen. Tonight, you are breaking through. Now, here they've got this weak and this sick person. And they bring him to this house and they manage their way up the stairs to the top of the roof and they're breaking through. Yet Jesus is standing inside. He's standing inside. Now remember, and he's looking at this man coming through the roof. I want to show you something. You're still with me. He's looking at this man coming through the roof. Now remember that this was a prophetic movement that was taking place. That Jesus had prophetically chosen this house that had a weak roof because he knew. Oh, he knew that tonight someone was about to come through. That tonight someone was about to come through. And that tonight someone was about to receive their breakthrough. Tonight is that night. Amen. Now you might be asking me the question, how do I know that, you know, that this roof was weak? Because the Bible does not say it. Now listen to this. The Bible says that there was no room. Amen. Now, for me to answer that question, you need to understand the design of the houses in that time. Now, the design of the houses in that time was of such a nature that all the houses had flat roofs. And the roofs had railings around it to prevent you from falling down. Meaning that the roofs were used as gathering places. But the Bible says that there was no room. Why did no one go on top? The four men managed it on top. There was no room. Everyone wanted to come close to Jesus, but yet no one was on top of the roof because they knew that the structure was weak and that it would collapse and that someone would get injured. But four men came with hurrah, with spiritual vision, with spiritual sight. Listen, listen, listen to this. Four men saw the point of weakness as a point of strength. Four men saw the point of weakness as a point of entry. Four men saw the point of weakness as a place to get close to Christ Jesus. Because in your weakness, He is made strong. In your weakness, He is made strong. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you are breaking through. You have been divinely positioned. And you are about to be located. Amen. Let's go to verse 5 again. I just want to show you something. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, say, saw their faith. Now look at this. Here Jesus is standing inside. You see this man coming through and he's laid down at his feet. And what is he looking at? He's not looking at the disease. He's not looking at the problem. He's not interested in that. He's seeing their faith. I'm telling you tonight, You're sitting here, you're thinking that God is interested in your problems. Do you think that God is seeing your problems? Do you think that God is seeing your weaknesses and your sicknesses and diseases? I want to tell you tonight that God is not interested in these things. He's looking at you, the person, the man. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your faith. Because what is not a problem in God's eyes should not be a problem in your eyes. Oh, I hope that someone is hearing me tonight. How can it be? Listen. How can it be that Moses can stand in front of the Red Sea, and when he turns to the one side, there's just water. When he turns to the other side, he sees the armies of Egypt coming running down at them. They are about to be killed and destroyed. I mean, the natural, everything in the natural screams out and says, Moses, you are in trouble. There's no way out. Everyone is about to die. What are you going to do? But God is not looking at the problem. God is not looking at the situation. God is looking at the man. He's looking at the heart, and he's seeing faith. And the waters opened up, and they were led through on dry grounds. Amen. I'm telling you tonight that God is seeing your faith. Tonight you are taken through on dry grounds. Tonight your enemies are being destroyed on every side. How can it be that when David went down in that valley, facing a giant, seven times his size and in stature, everything in the natural says, David, this is impossible. You cannot do this. Who do you think you are? You have not even been trained in battle. What makes you think that you will succeed? This man that you're facing is seven times your size. He is a trained warrior. You're going to be crushed. Oh, but God did not see the problem. God did not see the situation. God looked at the man. He saw the heart and he saw the faith. And a giant came falling down at his feet. Tonight, giants will come falling down at your feet. How can it be? How can it be when Joshua stood in front of the city of Jericho? Now, let me remind you that this city has never been taken. Many have tried and failed miserably. It was impossible to make war against the city. No one could prevail against it. Everything in the natural said that, Joshua, this is impossible. No one have ever done this before. What makes you think that you can do it? Does this sound familiar? But God is not looking at the problem. He's not looking at the situation. Oh, he's not looking at the circumstance. He's looking at the man, and he saw the faith. And the walls of Jericho came crumbling down. I'm telling you tonight, walls will come crumbling down. Whatever have been caging you inside, whatever have been causing your worry, your fear, and your anxiousness, it's coming down tonight. It is coming down tonight. It is coming down tonight. They will look at you and say, we have never seen anything like this. Amen. Now listen, the Bible says that the voice of God came into the Garden of Eden, walking into the Garden of Eden, the voice of God, in the cool of the day. Now this happened after Adam and Eve had fallen into sin. And they were ashamed because they saw that they were naked. And they covered themselves with leaves. And they hid themselves from the presence of God. And God came in and asked, Adam, where are you? And he said, Lord, I'm hiding. And God asked, why are you hiding? And he said, because we saw that we were naked. So we're hiding from your presence. We are ashamed. And God said, Adam, who told you that you are naked? God did not even look at their sin. He saw the man. He looked at the man. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that God is not interested in your problems. He is not interested in your sicknesses and your diseases. He's not looking at these things. When Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary, when he had died on that cross, his main focus was not sin. His main focus was you and me sitting in this place tonight. His main focus was his forgiveness and his love for you and for me. His main focus was to make atonement for you and for me. The word atonement means to make at one with. That was his main focus. And that is why I could tell this paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. He did not first say, take up your mat and walk. He first said, son, your sins are forgiven, because he knew that this man had committed a sin that only he knew about. And that this sin was preventing this man's healing. I want to tell you tonight that this is scriptural. This is biblical. Mark 6:13, you don't have to put this up. Mark 6:13 says, and they cast out, they drove out many demons, and then anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Let me tell you that many times your deliverance, your healing and your breakthrough goes hand in hand with your deliverance. Luke 9 verse 1 and verse 2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and then to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and then to heal the sick. Well, the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but also of a demonstration of power. Amen? Are you guys with me? And so, here they brought this paralyzed, weak and sick man, came into this church. As many of you might have come here tonight and you are weak and you feel sick, you're sitting here thinking, but what about my sin? I want to tell you that this man came in weak and sick, paralyzed, but that he did not go home in the same way. I want to tell you tonight that if you have come here tonight and you feel weak and you feel sick, that you will not go home in the same way. I'm telling you tonight that you will not leave in the same way that you have come here tonight. I'm telling you tonight that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that you carry the DNA, the divine DNA of a supernatural, only true living, almighty, all-powerful God, and that you cannot fail. I'm telling you tonight that you cannot fail. Amen. John 4 verse 17 says the following. Don't have to put this up. John 4 verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Meaning in this is our love made perfect. In what? That you may have boldness in the day of judgment. Are you ready for this? Because as he is. Because as he is. So are we in this world. Because as he is. So are you in this world. As he is, so are you in this world. As he is, so are you in this world. Amen. John 14:12. Very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. You are God's extended hands here on earth. He has made you in his character, in his likeness, and in his image. You cannot fail. Amen. Now that you know why you are here tonight, we can start with a message. Amen. And so tonight, I will be speaking on the genetics of God, the supernatural divine genetics of God, and the supernatural power of God. And say with me, genetics. Now, the word genetics is from the word gene or from the word generation. Now, generational curses, or rather generational blessings, is passed on from one generation to another through genetics. Okay? It is a well-known fact that every person has got a specific DNA. Amen? You carry the DNA of your mother and your father. Amen? You guys with me? Now, meaning that if you have got, not if, but you do have, when you have the same DNA of your mother and your father, it means that you have the same substance. Now, what you are capable of doing, now remember that I said here everything spiritually, what you are capable of doing, what you are capable of performing, is determined by your substance. You guys with me? In other words, if your mother and your father was an excellent athlete, chances of you becoming an excellent athlete as a child is very high. Amen? So your capability and ability is determined by the substance that you carry. Amen? Now, DNA is a double-stranded structure that carries the genes of your parents. And this is passed on from parent to child. So when a child is born, they have your same DNA. Whether you like it or not, they have got your same DNA. Amen. Now, they might not look exactly the same as you, but you will still be able to tell that this child belongs to that one. I can say, you know, this one belongs to Lloyd. I know. This one belongs to Lloyd. Amen. You'll be able to tell that this one belongs to that person. You know, I will never forget this. This happened years back, but I will never forget this. And we went, Josh was still very small, and we went for dinner at Spur because of the play area. And so we will always sit a distance away that we can keep an eye on him. Okay, so we will sit down and then he will run off and do his thing. And then this one time, the woman that was working in that area came to me and said, listen, your son needs you. And so I got up and I followed this lady and I thought to myself, but listen, how does she know that this is my son? But I followed her, and when I got there, lo and behold, it was Josh and he needed something. And so I sorted out the problem and I asked this woman, listen, how did you know that this was my son? And she started smiling and laughing, said, sir, please, are you kidding me? This is your blueprint. This is your blueprint. I'm telling you tonight that you carry the blueprint from heaven. You are carrying the blueprint from heaven. And this blueprint has been infused upon your spirit and encoded into your DNA. Amen. Tonight, you are breaking through. Is everyone still with me? I'm lost. I don't know where my notes is. I just went on. Let me see. Let's see. I don't want to miss something. You know, they will look at you and they will say, this one, we know. This is a believer. This is a Christian. The anointing upon this one's life is evident. They will look at you and say, you know what, this one, this is a son, this is a daughter of the true living God. She belongs to God. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that it does not matter if you have been born into a family of poverty. It does not matter. Whether you've been born into a family where there's inherent generational curses and sicknesses, it does not matter. I want to tell you tonight that it does not matter because you can change your DNA. You can change your DNA. You guys with me? No matter what bad thing it is that is running in your family, I want to tell you tonight that it does not matter because you can change your DNA. I'm telling you that when you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that there was a divine additive added, a divine infusion took place, whereby your DNA became infused with that of the Holy Spirit. The moment that you stood in front of God and said, Lord Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior over my life. I surrender to you. The old have been taken away and the new stood up as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Are you guys with me? Amen. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. When I saw this, I got really excited. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. 17. King James Version. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one in spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one in spirit. I don't think you grasp the fullness of what you're reading there. I'm telling you that you are anointed. I'm telling you that you are supernatural. I'm telling you that you are powerful. I'm telling you that you cannot fail. You are led by an almighty, true living God. You cannot fail. Amen? Meaning that if you are going through something that Jesus cannot be going through, then you should not be going through what it is that you are going through. But if you are going through something that Jesus should not be going through or cannot be going through, it might mean that there is some stuff in your life that have not yet been dealt with. Have not yet been confessed, have not yet been removed or taken out. Amen? So to better explain this, you need to understand the process of DNA. So for those who had biology on school, I'm sorry if you hated biology, because I'm going to take you back there tonight. Amen? But now again, I want to state that I'm making use of physical analogy. I actually had to go and study up on biology this week to prepare for the service. So please, if I make a mistake, it's not about the biology part of it, but it's about the point that I'm trying to make spiritually. So please hear everything that I say spiritually, but I'm fairly sure that my facts are right. Amen. So there's three stages that DNA goes through to reach a final product. And the first stage is called the duplication or replication. Say duplication. Are you guys still with me? It feels dead. I don't know. Maybe I think I've lost this side. Listen, I think this side is about to jump off the balcony. I don't know. Are you still following me? Are you still with me? What is the first stage? Or replication or duplication? Amen? Is everyone following me? This side is with me. Now, remember that I said that DNA is a double-stranded structure, so it consists of two sides. And these two sides are called a sugar phosphate backbone. Okay? I sound intelligent, do I? Eh? It's amazing. A bit of studying, 1 week. A sugar phosphate backbone. And these two strands are connected by something called base pairs. Okay? Now, what happens in this process, in duplication and replication, the base pairs split apart, forming two separate strands, single strands of DNA. And this happens so that a new strand of DNA can be formed. Are you guys with me? Amen? So now, don't worry if you can't hear me spiritually, because I will make the spiritual connotation for you tonight. Amen? Now, when this happens, it moves into a second stage. Now, you need to understand that when you first come onto salvation, when you first give your heart unto Christ Jesus, you enter this process whereby the old is taken out and you stand up anew. When you give your heart to Christ Jesus, you are being baptized into His death, where the old is taken out and you stand up in His resurrection power. Amen? A new strand comes in. A divine strand comes in at this stage and gets infused with your DNA, making you superhuman. I don't know if you guys are getting this. Amen? A divine infusion takes place at this stage, whereby your DNA gets infused with the Holy Spirit's DNA. Amen? So then you go into the second stage, and the second stage is called transcription. Say transcription. Amen? Now, in this process, all the unwanted things are taken out of the DNA in order to create a DNA without any problems. Amen? Now, in this stage, the DNA is processed by a process called mRNA. I love it. Meaning messenger RNA. I'm not going to get into all the definitions because it's irrelevant. I just want to sound intelligent. So it's messenger RNA. Amen? Is everyone still with me? Whereby all the unwanted bad things are taken out until only the good remains. The bad things that are taken out are called introns. The remaining good things are called exons. Now, I need you to remember that because I'm going to be using that. The bad stuff that is taken out is called introns. The good stuff remaining is called exons. Now, if all the introns is not taken out, a child might be born with deficiencies and problems. Yet, the father and the mother does not have the same problem. Okay? So, if all the introns is taken out, the child will be an exact copy. You guys with me? This is why many Christians... This is why you can have the DNA of Jesus Christ, but stuff in your life, there's things in your life that is not as it ought to be. Why is this? It is because there might be introns, bad things, stuff that you have not yet confessed, that have not yet been dealt with, that have not yet been taken out. You might say that the transcription process spiritually is called the deliverance process. Amen? So then you enter into the deliverance process. Now the Bible says that deliverance is a daily process. The Bible speaks of it as that, comparing it with the children's bread, meaning that it is staple food, meaning that you need to go through this daily. Amen? Deliverance, say deliverance. It's coming up next weekend. You do not want to miss it. Okay, and so all the bad stuff is being removed until only the good things remain. And this is why God says in the Bible that let your good works shine before men, that they may glorify your Father that is in heaven. Let your good works shine before men, that they may glorify your Father that is in heaven. Amen. Only the good must remain. All the bad have to be taken out. Amen. So I want to tell you tonight that it is possible to be a different copy. Listen to me. Many are struggling and are poor and are battling to get through this month, trying to make ends meet. But yet God is not a poor God. The Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham. Abraham was not poor. He had so much wealth. He was so rich that his enemies feared him. Now, if you are the seed of Abraham, then you should replicate the same copy. Amen? You guys with me? The third stage, and I'm almost done. Third stage. Well, I'm not almost done, but prophetic 5 minutes to go. The third stage is called translation. Say translation. Are you guys still following me? Translation. Is this boring? Maybe I should just pray for everyone. Here the RNA, this is the final stage. Here the RNA is processed into a final product called protein. Now here you need to listen. A final product called protein. Here you become a dangerous Christian. Here you start to realize who and what you are in Christ Jesus. Here people start manifesting around you. Demons start screaming, running out of people when you just enter a building. Okay? So here the RNA is processed into a final product called protein. Now the proteins do most of the work. They are responsible for most of the work in the cells. They are responsible for the structure, for the developments, and for the regulation of the entire system. For the body's tissues and for the organs. Amen? They carry the genetic code that is found in genes. Say protein cells. Some of the guys in this church can see. When we speak of protein, it's not that type of protein. Amen? Spiritual, guys. Keep with me. Stay with me spiritually. You need to understand the spiritual, prophetic significance of what is taking place when you give your heart to Christ Jesus. By what happened the moment you said, Lord Jesus Christ, here is my heart. Take control. You need to understand what have happened in the spirit. Amen? Can I tell you? The moment that you have said this, a divine infusion took place where your DNA got infused with the DNA of the Holy Spirit. Here you have received a blueprint from heaven that have been imprinted upon your spirit, man. That have been encoded into your DNA. Amen? What I am telling you tonight is that you are a peculiar, never seen before, unheard of, a superhuman that carries the supernatural power of a supernatural God. And that this supernatural raw power that is of heaven is the very presence of God. And that this supernatural power that you carry is unstoppable. And it is responsible for your entire function of your spirit man. And it lays out the entire will of God for your life. What I'm speaking about is the anointing. I'm speaking about the anointing of the Almighty God. What I am telling you tonight is that you are infused with the anointing, with the presence, with the substance of heaven. There is a breaker anointing that goes before you, that nothing can get in your way. I am telling you tonight that you are powerful. I am telling you that you are powerful. Amen. Listen, listen. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And Elijah died and they buried him. Elijah died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. Go on. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man into the tomb of Elijah. And when the man was laid down and touched the bones of Elijah, I don't think you are getting this. He revived and stood on his feet. No, you're not getting this. You're not getting this yet. I'm telling you that there is an anointing that makes you more than a normal man, that separates you from an ordinary man. The bones of Elijah, they are dead. They carry nothing. They feel nothing. They sense nothing. It's just bones. But yet they could rub off some of Elijah's anointing and resurrect a dead man. You are better than the bones of Elisha. You are better than the bones of Elisha. If the bones of Elisha could raise a dead man, imagine what you and I can accomplish that is filled with the Holy Spirit of the true living God. Acts 5 verse 15. Acts 5 verse 15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least, just at least, the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Shadows Peter. Peter's shadow healed the sick. His shadow healed the sick. A shadow. A shadow. It is dead. It feels nothing. It senses nothing. But yet, it cured the sick. You are better than Peter's shadow. You are better than Peter's shadow. If his shadow could heal the sick, what can you do? The Bible says that they took aprons and handkerchiefs from the apostles, and when the people would touch them, they would get healed. Are you telling me that a piece of cloth has got more power than you? You're not getting this. You're still not getting this. You're still not getting this. Are you telling me that a piece of cloth is better than you? They would touch these things and they would get healed. What I'm telling you tonight is that there is an unction by being under an anointing. And that when your father possesses a certain unction, that you possess the same unction. Amen? I'm telling you tonight that you have got an unction inside of you. That you have got a warrior inside of you. That you have got a businessman inside of you. That you have got a conqueror inside of you. And that you cannot fail. You might stumble, but that you cannot fail. You need to understand that you have been encoded even before the foundations of this earth have been laid. That God have called you even before the foundations of this earth have been laid. Even before you have been formed in your mother's womb, you have been called. You cannot fail. Luke 1 verse 37 says the following, "For no word from God can ever fail." Do you know that you are the very spoken manifestation word of God? That God... I hope that you are getting this. You carry an anointing. Your shadow can heal people. When you sit on a chair and you get up and someone else goes sit there, that anointing stays behind. When you go for a job interview, the Bible says that. John, you don't have to put this on. John 6 verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. When you go for a job interview and you touch that door, are you not hearing me? When you go into this man's office, he's not your boss. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. That's my boss. When you sit down in that chair, being interviewed, it's done. Why? Because of the anointing. He will ask you, what are you looking for? You'll say, I'm looking for this job. And you saying, I'm looking, is a statement. For your words is filled with the Spirit and with life. It is a done deal. Non-negotiable. That job is yours. Your boss will ask you, what are you looking for? I am looking for a raise. It's a done deal. Why? Because of the anointing. When you walk out of that office, you rub that handle, you rub that chair, and you leave behind something. They will be able to only notice you because of an anointing. Amen? One last one. John 1, verse 12. I'll be closing off with this. John 1, verse 12. Put on the King James Version, please. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Ay, 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 ay. Even to them that believe in his name. Ay, 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 ay. I wish that you guys could see the scripture the way that I do. But as many as received him, in Jesus Christ, to them gave he power. Who received Jesus Christ? To become what? Of what? Ay, 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 ay. Listen, listen. You first receive power, and that power enables you to become a Christian. That power is the thing that enables you to come onto salvation. Meaning that you have been handpicked. You think that you have made the choice to come onto salvation. No, 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 no. God have chosen you. What? Hang on. What I am saying is that there is no Christian without power. You are better than the bones of Elisha. You are a son and a daughter of an almighty true living God. When your child is afraid, where does he run to? His parents. Amen. Romans 8, verse 15. Last one. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Go on for me. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are, come on, say it, that we are children of God. You have power to overcome. Amen.